Who's heard the story of Noah's Ark? Raise your hand. All right, my message is done. Thank you. All right, you all know what's in there. So we're going to share a few things about that, though. I don't know about you, but we always had a Noah's Ark in our nursery at home. Now, it's been a couple years since we had a nursery at home, but we have grandchildren coming on the way. So if you had something up in your nursery at home or still have a picture of Noah's Ark hanging at home, raise your hand. That's a few less. Okay, but there's a couple. All right, hang on to that. This is going to be a great story, and it's going to start out as, are you drowning? That's what we're going to present to you today. Are you drowning? Now, in this world that we live in today, you can be drowning from a lot of things. You can be drowning from finances, relationships, you name it. Your job can take you under. There's all kinds of things that can pull you down, and you can drown. But you can also get on the boat. So that's going to be another question for you as we go through today. Are you on the boat, or are we on the boat? Okay? So those are some things to think about as we go through the Noah's Ark story. But before we get there, here's a little something I want to share with you that everything you need to learn in life, you can learn from Noah. All right? So here it goes. We'll see if that's correct. Important lessons we can learn from Noah. Here they are. Don't miss the boat. That's a pretty simple one. Remember, we are all in the boat, in the same boat. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah started building the ark. Stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. All right? And there's a disclaimer here. After God saw how we messed things up, I think he reduced that to 120. All right, I'll find that in the Bible, but I know it's there. There's something in there about living the 120. So you still got that. Don't listen to critics that just get on with your job. All right, there's five more. Build your future on high ground. That's a pretty simple one. I like this one. Speed isn't everything. The snails were on board with the cheetahs. Get it? They were all there. Just take your time. When you're stressed, float a while. I was thinking of this yesterday when I was at the Effort of Pool with Joanne. I'm just floating there. And I thought of this because I knew it was coming in the message. But float a while. It's so relaxing. Remember, the ark wasn't built. There we go. Remember, the ark wasn't built, was built by amateurs. And the Titanic was built by professionals. Remember that. Remember that one. And no matter what the storm, when you're with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. Isn't that a comforting feeling? And it's the truth. And you're going to see that God gives us that guarantee. And he gives it to Noah as well. We're going to go back to the story now. We're going to go, why Noah? Okay, why Noah? And here it is in Genesis 6, 9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Now notice that word righteous, okay? It doesn't mean he was perfect. If you remember, Adam was a man, just like man was before that. We all came from Adam and Eve. Sin, what happened there in the garden? Sin came into the world. And it didn't leave. And it came into each man. And Noah was a product of that environment. So he wasn't perfect. I want you to remember that. And God didn't choose him for that reason. God chose him for his heart. And the heart he had for Christ or for God. He knew Noah loved him more than anything. Would listen to him. Whatever he told him, and he knew that he could walk with God, and God would walk with him. That's why he was righteous, that's why he was chosen, and God chose him out of everyone. Now here we go, we get ready for the ark. Noah builds the ark in Genesis 6, 13 through 14. I want to tell you this, we're going to be racing through Genesis 6 through 9 pretty quickly, in about 20 minutes. So hang on to your Bibles. If you want to open them up, that's where we're at. 6-9. If you get in there, you can just read right along. Thank you. I'm back. What happened there? Yeah, okay. Okay, I'll start over. Lessons we wanted to learn from Noah. No, I'm just kidding. They were on the screen. You could read that pretty much on your own. Noah's building the ark. Okay, so God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people on earth. Okay, that's big. That's a big one. He's going to put all people on earth to death. All the people who are filled with violence. Now I will start because there's a ringing. Anyone hear that besides me? I thought maybe it was my ears. It's thrown me off just a tad, but let me start over. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people on earth, for the earth is filled with violence, and because of them I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark out of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and outside. That's a whole lot of pitch in there. And I don't know if you ever smelled pitch, but it smells pretty, pretty rancid. And then you put a whole bunch of animals in there, you get the picture. Okay? But the thing about it was, Noah listened. Noah listened to what God told him. No matter how crazy Noah might have thought it sounded, he listened. And he obeyed. And he was obedient to God's word. Something about this whole story that you got to remember. And I was talking with Dean this week, and they had many songs about grace up here today. God's grace came through with Noah. You notice that? God could have wiped out everyone and had a major redo. But he didn't do that. His grace fell upon Noah and his family, and all the animals as well. But he could have wiped them all out. And I thought that just needed to be mentioned, that God's grace was extended to Noah, and it's extended to each one of us as well. Here it says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, and keep them alive with you. Now, not only did God extend his grace to Noah and his family, he had a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Noah. A guaranteed, ironclad promise from God that he was going to save Noah and his seven family members and all those animals in the ark. He was going to keep them alive through this flood that was coming. He was going to make all things good in them. And things were going to be okay. This covenant was made for all mankind. But in this particular point, God made it to Noah. If you look at the Bible through other times, God makes covenants with Moses, David, the list goes on. But this was made for Noah. You need to remember that as we go through things. Noah, not being a perfect man, but a righteous man, listened to God when all other people probably were just hammering him with insult over insult and over insult. So Noah and his boys went to work, started building the ark. For 120 years, they worked on the ark. Can you imagine that? I think I got that right. Yeah, 120 years. And not only that, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2, verse 5, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on it, on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness. I loved that when I found that. A preacher of righteousness. Noah not only was building an ark, but he also was preaching and telling people that there's a flood coming. I don't know his exact words, but I'm sure there's a flood coming. Get on board. Get on. God is coming. Now, can you imagine what the people were thinking that were around him? 120 years. That's a long time to be building a boat out in the middle of nowhere with no water around and listening to somebody that you can't see. You know, what do you imagine? You know the media today. Wouldn't they have a storm on this one? It'd be a media storm on this. Some good, some bad. But Noah was living in a wicked world where I'm sure there was no good words coming to him, but only bad. He still preached the word. And the sad thing is, in 120 years of preaching the word and telling people about God and building this ark and telling them about a flood coming and what it's going to do and its devastation, not one person joined the original eight. Not one other person listened to a word this righteous man was saying. That's sort of sad, if you think about it. It's really sad. The Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, and your family and your family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. And then they went. And the Lord shut the door. Now what I like about this is, Noah didn't shut the door. The Lord shut the door. God closed it up and sealed them in. Remember, he made that covenant with Noah that he was going to keep them safe. And he sealed them up and used his own hands to seal that up so they would be. An ironclad covenant God gave Noah. So, what's this about us? There's something in here about us. I was looking at, when I read this, I was reminded of Matthew. This here. And right there I have it on the screen. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be when the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other one left. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know on what day or hour your Lord will come. Remember the ark being closed up, sealed up by God? One day, this is telling us, giving us a warning per se, to get our things together. Because one day, the door to eternity will be sealed up. And I don't want to scare anybody, but it could be today. So you've got to think about that. I'm not going to leave you on that note, because that's sort of like, whoa. But someday, that door to eternity will be sealed. And I ask you these questions again. Are you drowning, or are you on the boat? Let me ask you this one too. Are we preachers of righteousness? Think about that. Are you a preacher? Not like Pastor Brian and Pastor Ryan and Kim. But are you a preacher of righteousness? We all can do it. See, what we do to convey others through our words and actions. So how are you acting? And your words. Are we seeking to lead others to a relationship with Jesus? Are we doing that? Are we following the lead Jesus left before us? How are we doing? I think we're doing pretty good. We can always do better. We're not perfect either. But here's another Bible verse for you. See if you remember this one. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I mentioned this a couple times in sermons. I'm sure Pastor Brian has as well, and Ryan too. These are our walking papers. This is the Great Commission. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Sharing this word of Jesus and treating others with love and respect as Jesus did with us. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? At times, not so much. But this is what God wants us to do. And this is what we should be doing. Because there's people out in the world, believe it or not, that do not know Jesus. There are people out in the world that do not know the Bible story about Noah. It's hard to believe, but it's true. And it's up to us to share what we know, our knowledge, and even if you think you don't know a whole lot, you know more than they do. And you know about Jesus. That's what we need to do. Then we can be preachers of righteousness. Doesn't that sound pretty cool? You can get a name tag. Preachers of righteousness. But if you get a name tag, you better live up to it. Because there's a lot to live up to there. Okay. We're going back to the flood. The door is opened. Woke some of you up there, didn't I? The door is opened. 40 days and 40 nights of rain. It's been raining cats and dogs for a long, long time. 150 days. The earth is flooded. For 150 days. Can you imagine that? 40 days and 40 nights of rain. 150 days flooded. Noah sends a raven out, comes back. Sends one dove out that comes back. Sends another dove out. This time, 7 days later, the dove comes back with an olive branch in its beak and drops it in his hand. You know what that means. There was some place to pick that branch up. So then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Something like that back with Adam and Eve. Well, it is sort of like Adam and Eve. Only one interesting fact about that was Adam and Eve were brought into a sin-free world and created sin there. And Noah, a sinful man, righteous man, a sinful man, was brought in to a sin-free world, made washed anew by God. I just thought that was sort of interesting, the changes that were made there. But Noah was a righteous man. Quite interesting story as we go through here. God's blessing and covenant. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and multiply the earth." Again, Adam and Eve. But this part, I really enjoy about the covenant. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Isn't that cool? I love a rainbow. Do you guys love a rainbow? I always think of this story when I see a rainbow. And that's no lie. That's the truth. I also think of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but I've never found that yet. But the other one I know is an ironclad promise that God's going to be there for you through thick and thin. If you're feeling like you're drowning, God's going to be there for you. God's going to be there for Emily as she takes her crying baby out. He'll be there for you. But that rainbow, God promised, would be in the dark clouds and would be His assurance that things will be okay and that you'll never, ever do that again. Isn't that a great promise? It's a beautiful promise. It's one you can bank on. But there's also this promise in the New Testament covenant. And I'd like you to say this with me if you would. Ready? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Ironclad guarantee that if you have a relationship with Christ, you will have a life in heaven for all eternity. Guaranteed by God. You can't get a better guarantee. That's what God guarantees to each one of you who know Him. So we started with these lessons. Okay, now these are important lessons we learned from Noah. Changed a little bit, the wording there. But they're pretty much the same. Ready? Here we go. If you miss them the first time, it's the same deal again. Don't miss the boat. Remember, we are all in the same boat. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Stay fit. This is hard to do. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. And actually, when they came out of the ark, he was 601, so he still had a lot to do. Don't listen to critics. Just get on the job that needs to be done. There's always going to be critics. Build your future on high ground. Speed isn't everything. The snails were on board with the cheetahs. When you're stressed, float a while. I might do that this afternoon. Remember, the ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. And no matter what the storm, when you're with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. Remember that. No matter how tough things are getting, no matter if you feel like you're drowning, jump on the boat. Remember the rainbow. And remember, God loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask Your blessing upon this day, upon the word that You have given us today. Father, we just ask a blessing upon that as well. Those who are in the midst of storms in their lives, God, let them get a glimpse of that rainbow at the end of the storm that You've given to all of us. Bless each one here today. May they feel Your love, Your presence in their life. May they look for the rainbow. May they be remembered by that rainbow that shows on those after a stormy night. So God, bless each one here. Bless them with the love of Jesus and let them share that with someone today. So God, bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen.